From the towering Wasatch Mountains of the American Southwest, we welcome you to this episode of Undiscovered Utah. This show focuses on the mysteries that surround the rugged, difficult, and sometimes deadly American Southwest. I'm your host, JB, and tonight we're going to share with you the story of the destroying angel of Mormondom, as he was known. He was also known as a modern-day Samson. One of his most famous quotes was, "I never killed anyone who didn't need killing." At his funeral in 1878, Joseph F. Smith said, "They said he was a murderer. If he was, he was a friend of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, and he was faithful to them and to his covenants. And he has gone to heaven. And the apostates can go to hell." Who was this man, this legend, this hero, this villain, this angel? His name is Orrin Porter Rockwell. And tonight, we're going to recount some of the stories about his life. So put on your boots, grab your hat, saddle up your horse, because this is going to be one heck of a ride. Born in a quaint small town of Belchertown, Massachusetts, to loving parents, Orrin grew up like most young boys at the time. He became good friends with another young boy who lived next door. Even though his neighbor was quite a few years older than Orrin, they were destined to become, well, not only childhood friends, but lifelong friends. Orrin looked up to his neighborhood friend, Joseph, as a mentor and as an example. Orrin was sad to hear that his neighbors were moving to the state of New York. The Rockwell family soon followed in the footsteps of their neighbors and also moved to the state of New York. Orrin was glad to be reunited with his friend Joseph. Joseph's last name was Smith, and yes, he was the same Joseph Smith that in 1820, at 14 years of age, said he had witnessed in a vision two beings whose brightness and glory defy all description. The Rockwell family obviously heard of this incredible account from the young Joseph Smith. As incredible as the story might have seemed, apparently the Rockwells didn't hesitate at all in believing Joseph. Maybe that was because they had known Joseph as a young man for years. Long before the attention, both good and bad, came from the story of the visitation from God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Some of the Rockwell family was among some of the first people baptized into the new religion established by Joseph Smith. Orrin was baptized on April 6, 1830, at the age of 16 years old, along with his mother, Sarah, and his two sisters, Caroline and Electra, and his brother, Peter. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and its members moved from New York to Ohio, and then to Illinois. The Rockwell family followed suit. 2 years after Orrin's baptism, Orrin married a young gal by the name of Luanna Beebe in 1832 at the age of 18 in a town called Independence, Missouri. 6 years after Orrin married Luanna, in the year 1838, the governor of Missouri issued Executive Order Number 44, called the Mormon Extermination Order. The order read in part, quote, "The Mormons must be treated as enemies and must be exterminated or driven from the state, if necessary, for public peace. Their outrages are beyond all description," unquote. The state of Missouri had declared war on the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and its members. The state militia was ordered to gather at least 900 men to fight against the Mormons and to use any means the generals considered necessary. Most of the members of the church that lived in Missouri relocated to Nauvoo, Illinois, and the surrounding area. Years later, in 1842, Governor Boggs was shot while he was in his house, and he was severely wounded by a would-be assassin. After this assassination attempt, and a recently excommunicated member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints by the name of John C. Bennett wrote a letter to the Sangamo Journal. This was the Illinois State Journal that was published semi-weekly when the state legislature was in session. The journal decided to publish the letter. This is what the letter said. Quote, in 1841, Joe Smith predicted or prophesied in a public congregation in Nauvoo that Lilburn W. Boggs, the ex-governor of Missouri, should die by violent hands within 1 year. From 1 or 2 months prior to the attempted assassination of Governor Boggs, Mr. O.P. Rockwell left Nauvoo for parts unknown to the citizens at large. I was then on terms of close intimacy with Joe Smith and asked him where Rockwell had gone. Gone, he said, gone to fulfill prophecy. Rockwell returned to Nauvoo the day before the report of the assassination reached here. Unquote. After the publication of this letter, Governor Boggs issued an arrest warrant for Orrin. Orrin was now a fugitive, and I'm sure he didn't want to be placed in the hands of the governor that had issued an extermination order on all Mormons. Orrin went on the run, traveling all over the eastern United States, trying to find work to send money back home. To say Orrin was depressed is an understatement. Put yourself in his shoes. After months of being on the run and not being able to find work, he decided he might as well return home. He was of no use to his family or the prophet of the church. Orrin arrived in St. Louis on March 4, 1843, knowing full well that there was a significant bounty out for his arrest. He risked everything to return home. Orrin Porter Rockwell was captured in St. Louis just minutes after getting off the steamboat and while waiting for a ferry to take him to his family in Illinois. He was arrested and charged with the attempted assassination of Governor Boggs. After 2 months of being held captive in the Independence Jail, Orrin escaped. Well, briefly escaped. In September, it was reported, quote, Orrin Porter Rockwell, the Mormon confined in our county jail sometime since for the attempted assassination of ex-Governor Boggs, was indicted by our last grand jury for escaping from the county jail some weeks since and sent to Clay County for trial. Owing, however, to some informality in the proceedings, he was remanded to this county again for trial. There was not sufficient proof adduced against him to justify any indictment for the shooting of ex-Governor Boggs, and the grand jury therefore did not indict him for that offense. Unquote. He was, however, found guilty of the jailbreak and was held another 3 months in jail for that offense. Orrin Porter Rockwell spent 10 months in jail because of a letter written by an excommunicated member of the church asserting that Oren was not in Nauvoo at the time of the assassination attempt. Well, that's good enough for me. He must be guilty. What more evidence could you possibly need to get a conviction? One thing was for certain. It was a very difficult time to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Keep in mind that Oren and Luanna had 6 children by the time of his arrest, and Luanna was trying to raise 5 kids under the age of 10 without her husband around because of that letter. Now, you might be thinking, JB, you said that they had 6 children, but that she was only raising 5 while her husband was in jail. Where was the other child? Well, sadly, Olive Rockwell died as an infant. Olive and Emily were twin sisters and the first children of Oren and Luanna. Joseph Rockwell was child number 7 and was born 10 months after Oren was released from jail. But Luanna and the children had suffered while Oren was locked away in the jail. After the birth of Joseph, things were looking better, but tragedy struck the Rockwell family again when little Joseph, at 6 months old, passed away. And in the same month of June 1844, Oren's lifelong friend, mentor, and prophet, Joseph Smith, was shot and killed by an angry mob while serving time in the Carthage jail for, get this, inciting a riot. Oh, the irony. Rockwell was actually on his way to Carthage to visit Joseph Smith when he crossed paths with George D. Grant, who was headed quickly in the opposite direction of Oren. As Grant rode by, he yelled that Joseph had been shot. Upon hearing the news, Oren hurried back to Nauvoo and rode through town yelling, "Joseph is killed! Joseph is killed! They have killed him! They have killed him! God damn them, they have killed him!" Following the death of Joseph Smith, Brigham Young was appointed as the head of the church and, under his direction, organized the great exodus of Mormons from the United States of America westward to the Rocky Mountains, and that was part of Mexico at the time. As the first wagon train moved across Iowa, led by Brigham Young, Brigham asked Porter to be a messenger between the wagon train and the remaining saints in Nauvoo. Rockwell carried messages back and forth across Iowa 5 separate times. On his last trip to Nauvoo, Porter discovered that a man by the name of Chauncey Higbee was in Nauvoo. Porter's blood began to boil, as Higbee was a member of the church that was excommunicated by Joseph Smith for committing adultery. Higbee later ran a newspaper in Nauvoo called the Nauvoo Expositor that was very critical of Joseph Smith and the church as a whole. Joseph ordered that the printing press for the Nauvoo Expositor be destroyed. It was after this order that Joseph Smith was arrested for inciting a riot and jailed in the Carthage jail, never to come home again. Needless to say, Porter was not fond of Higbee. Porter found Higbee and started following him around town. Porter began harassing Higbee, firing shots above his head in the air and threatening his life. Well, Porter was soon arrested. At the time of his arrest, it was reported that Rockwell had 71 rounds of ammunition loaded in his guns and could have fired all the rounds without reloading. Oh, and a few knives. But he never resisted being arrested, and Again, Porter was locked up in jail for another 4 months awaiting for a trial. When the trial finally happened, Orrin Porter was acquitted of all charges. Porter met up with the Saints in winter quarters and joined the first wagon train west to the Rocky Mountains. The Pratt Company was the first group to descend down what is now called Immigration Canyon, just east of Salt Lake City. Brigham Young had fallen ill during the journey, and his wagon was at the back of the wagon train. He asked Porter to ride up and meet the Pratt Company before they descended into the valley. Most likely, Porter was the third person to enter the Salt Lake Valley after Orson Pratt and Erastus Snow. As wagon train after wagon train of pioneers arrived in the Salt Lake Valley, Porter Rockwell was appointed Deputy Marshal of Great Salt Lake City. From this time on, Porter was a lawman for the rest of his life. Porter's reputation as a lawman quickly spread from Salt Lake to California. Here is an excerpt from February 1891 edition of the Reno Evening Gazette in reference to the conflict between prospectors that had traveled to Salt Lake City and the church. Quote, "The prospectors made their headquarters principally at a hotel kept by Gentiles who, like other newcomers, were regarded as intruders and trespassers and were watched like thieves in every move they made by the Mormon spies and church hirelings." Then it was that Porter Rockwell, with his long, wild locks flowing over his shoulders, and his running mate, Brig Hampton, bore the reputation of being the two leading destroying angels of the Mormon Church. Unquote. The destroying angel of the Mormon Church? That's quite a title. Rockwell was reported as saying to a crowd, "I have never killed anyone that didn't need killing." This famous quote was later used by John Wayne in one of his movies. Even though Porter was a bodyguard for Brigham Young, it didn't stop him from shooting Brigham's nephew and killing him. The story is reported like this, quote, "After stealing a horse from outside the bishop's house, Lot Huntington, nephew to Brigham Young, fled to Camp Floyd, where he met up with two other petty outlaws. An expert tracker, Rockwell, followed the trail all the way to the Pony Express station in Tooele, arriving in the middle of the night. At sunup, the situation quickly escalated to a standoff. The outcome, Lot Huntington tried taking on Porter Rockwell and ended up shot clean through the heart." End quote. Porter was known for his long flowing hair. As a matter of fact, the story of his long hair goes something like this. After Porter was released from the Independence Jail after being charged with the attempted assassination of Governor Boggs, Porter visited Joseph Smith's home. At first, he was not recognized because his hair had grown so long while in prison. But it didn't take long for Joseph to recognize his childhood friend under all that hair. Joseph is quoted as saying, quote, "I prophesy in the name of the Lord, you, Orrin Porter Rockwell, so long as ye shall remain loyal to the truth and to thy faith, need fear no enemy. Cut not thy hair, and no bullet or blade can harm thee." End quote. From then on, Porter was called a modern-day Samson. Throughout his life, Porter was involved in countless gunfights. but no bullet or blade ever harmed him. In a book written by Fritz Ludlow in 1870 called The Heart of the Continent, it reads, quote, "But he, Porter Rockwell, was the most terrible instrument that can be handled by fascination. A powerful physical nature welded to the mind of a very narrow perceptions, intense convictions, and changeless tenacity. In his build, he was a gladiator. In his humor, a Yankee lumberman. In his memory, a Bourbon. And his vengeance, an Indian. A strange mixture only to be found on the American continent." Orrin Porter Rockwell died of natural causes on June 9, 1878. Speaking at his funeral, the church apostle Joseph F. Smith, a nephew of Joseph Smith, said of Porter, "They say he was a murderer, if he was. He was a friend of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, and he was faithful to them and to his covenants, and he has gone to heaven, and apostates can go to hell. Porter Rockwell was yesterday afternoon ushered into heaven, clothed with immortality and eternal life, and crowned with all glory which belongs to a departed saint. He has his little faults, but Porter's life on earth, taken altogether, was one worthy of example, and reflected honor upon the church. Throughout all his trials, he never once forgot his obligations to his brethren and his God." End quote. Orrin Porter Rockwell was one of Utah's most notorious gunfighters. Today, the legacy of Orrin Porter Rockwell can still be seen around Utah. You can visit his grave in the Salt Lake City Cemetery. At a landmark near the point of the mountain, you can visit a marker where Orrin had a hotel and a brewery called the Hot Springs Hotel and Brewery. The point of the mountain is between Salt Lake County and Utah County. In a little town of Eureka, Utah, there is a small cabin in the center of town that was one of Porter's cabins. It's a fun stop if you're in the area. We hope you've enjoyed this show tonight. If you'd like more information about tonight's episode, you can email us at info@undiscoveredutah.com. You can find us on the internet at undiscoveredutah.com or on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And be sure to follow us. Just search for Undiscovered Utah. Join me next time as I share more about the Great Southwest. Good night, everybody.